Hi, I'm Dave Jackson, and you're listening to the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Welcome to another JPR Live session where we get to know musicians we admire and hear exclusive live performances. Today's live session is made possible with support from South Stage Cellars in Jacksonville. And with me in the JPR Steve Nelson Performance Studio are the Lemon Twigs. Hey, guys, welcome to JPR.
Hey.
Hello.
The Lemon Twigs are brothers Michael and Brian Daddario, joined by their band. That's Reza Mateen on drums and Danny Ayala on keys, bass, and vocals. Their fourth studio album, Everything Harmony, just dropped, and you've likely heard some of the advance singles on Open Air. Congratulations on the new record.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
There's a mix of moods on this record. Some tunes are kind of melancholy. What were the circumstances that drew you to the setting that kind of tone for the record?
It was just Brian and I. Brian had a lot of ballads, and I was just kind of trying to, like, match what he was doing.
So some of the darker tunes, Every Day is the Worst Day of My Life, did that come from something in particular that's going on?
I think that was just a mood or something, but I know that I was just in my parents' basement. Right. It was a, cassette recorder and stuff.
So that's how you guys start recording, is it straight to cassette? Is it?
No, we usually do a tape machine. That's all. Usually do like an analog tape machine, like a 2-inch machine or something. But that's the only song in the record that's on cassette, really.
But it's all put through this great pro echo chamber at Hyde Street Studios.
Yeah, we took the cassette over there and everything.
Yeah, it was that was my next thing. What I was going to talk about next. You guys have some pretty rich arrangements on these songs. There's like horn sections, and so it's kind of lush sounds, layered harmonies. How do you get from that point where somebody's strumming a guitar and laying down some lyrics to that finished product? How do you guys do that?
We can never stop ourselves from doing like 100 overdubs. Really, it's like hard. It's hard to not go overboard. Be honest with you.
In the case of, I guess, Every Day is the Worst Day of My Life, nothing really called out to us as...
I only had 8 tracks on that, so it was like I just didn't do any more because I didn't have any more room. I think we just kind of keep going. Brian plays all the instruments. Like, Brian plays cello and all that stuff, too, so he usually has ideas. He didn't do it on this album, but he usually has ideas for that kind of stuff, and I think, like... some of it comes from just like the song is a little bit, getting old or something, and then you just want to keep making it new, so keep overdubbing. But then it gets to a point where it's obviously it's the best it could be.
Right. And so how do you know when to stop?
Well, it starts to sound worse, I guess.
Then it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that usually there's only so much that you can do far as arrangements, like before it starts to sound muddy.
I mean, I think, when you start to not be able to hear the vocal or something, or like what you did originally.
If it gets too deep, then you're kind of lost the original thought process in there. Is that?
Yeah, but then on certain, songs, it works well to do that,
I'm pretty happy with like the fact that there's some sparse songs on this album and some that are right in the middle, and then
Renate.
Some real... production heavy tracks.
No one ever picked on Brian Wilson for that.
Yeah.
So this album, you did some basement recordings. You went to San Francisco. There were some other studios involved in this, right? There's some other recording bits of it that...
Well, there was a rehearsal. Yeah, the rehearsal studio was where we did like the first 6 months of recording, and we pretty much finished it at Hyde Street, but then we ended up mixing it at our current studio in Brooklyn.
And you guys are pretty much behind all the production on it yourselves, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we did. It was just when we went to San Francisco, it was the two of us and Rias Reed, who was engineering with us.
Good. Well, why don't you start us off with a song? What do you want to play?
I think we'll play Ghost Run Free, which is off the second side of the record.
Excellent.
Take it away, drummer.
All around, leaves and trees.
That's like the Lemon Twigs, our guest today in a JPR live session. That was two called Ghosts Run Free. It's from their brand new album, Everything Harmony. You get more information on their website, thelemontwigs.com. And how can people find you on the social medias?
The Lemon Twigs at, you know, Twitter.
At the Lemon Twigs. We got Twitter and Instagram. We got all that
Facebook.
Stuff.
Facebook.
We got Facebook.
You got Bandcamp.
TikTok.
We got TikTok. Check out the TikTok for all these college people.
All right. Yeah, check TikTok out the TikTok
is, for the TikTok is what's happening.
So your sound is pretty deeply rooted into an old pop and rock and psychedelia. Tell us about how you developed a love for that kind of music into your own style.
I mean, we just always loved that stuff. I mean, like, just British invasion stuff that our dad and, you know, both our parents grew up with and introduced us to when we were kids. And I don't know. And then we've gotten into a lot of things over the years, but that seems to be the music that's closest to, you know, just to our hearts, I guess.
So on that note about kind of old school sound, I wanted to get your take on the copyright infringement lawsuit going on with Marvin Gaye and the Marvin Gaye Estate and Ed Sheeran. And just in case our listeners aren't up on this, Ed Sheeran's being sued by the Marvin Gaye Estate. They allege that his song Thinking Out Loud is too similar to Let's Get It On. You guys play homage to the past. What are your kind of thoughts on that?
I don't know. I have to hear them side by side. I don't remember. Which one's the Ed Sheeran? What does that sound like?
Danny would know it.
The Ed Sheeran song? Do you know it?
That song, When My Legs Don't Work Like They Used To Before.
Oh, and what's the Marvin, what was it?
The Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On.
What part of it is it?
Well, they're talking about the verses. That's like the chord progression's pretty similar, and that's just been what's
going on. Take him for all he's worth.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need the money anyway. I mean, you know who needs the money? The Marvin Gaye Estate. Not really. You know, they don't either of them,
I
really.
I think you should be able to sue anyone and win in this life.
So
that's my position.
I don't know if you could really sue for a chord progression, though, if that's the case.
No, it's, I mean, I don't know. I think that
in that case, Elvis is going to sue me.
Yeah, you can't plagiarize a feel, if that's what it is. Because I remember there was another suit. I forget what it was. Was it?
I don't remember. Yeah, there was one where it just basically sounded like they copied the production.
I think that was Robin Thicke and Marvin Gaye's Estate again. Yeah.
And, dude.
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye's Estate, man. No, you know.
They're rich.
No, because that one didn't make any sense to me, because to me it's like, that would be like Phil Spector suing Brian Wilson or something.
For copying his...
Yeah, it's like...
But to me, songwriting is music and lyrics. I may be old school. I may be old fashioned. I've been accused of such in the past.
But
that's it. It's like, yeah, I think it's just like, if you copy the melody, then yeah, you maybe are suing, you know, should win.
That's up. So as you guys are like interpreting old sounds and making your own, do you guys ever like go along on a song and go, ooh, I think we just crossed into that a little too much? Do you like?
Usually that kind of thing is like try to like offset it with something else. But there's so many different kinds of songwriting. It's like there's people who literally, you know, sample a melody for their own song. I don't mean sample. I mean like, so not literally sample. I mean, like, there's people who will take a melody and it's almost a reference, you know? Or even, like, the Brian Jonestown Massacre is almost, like, certain things almost reference directly other music, and it's kind of part of it. And if you took it away, then it wouldn't be as effective. So it just kind of depends on the key, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't really think... I guess if it gets to the point where it sounds so similar that somebody's like, you stole my idea, then they should... But I think a lot of times it's homage, you know?
But you guys want to play another song? What's up next?
Song In My Head, which, funny, we should say.
The song called In My Head.
Little reference to Feel a Whole Lot Better, but that's just...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't on the recording. But then also people have told me this sounds like... There's a lot of things that people told me this sounds like, but I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to get sued. But, you know, it's not good. We'll never get sued because we'll never have anything close to a hit.
All right, let's do it.
In my head, in my head, I am different in my head.
That's Lemon Twigs, the song In My Head. It's from their brand new release, Everything Harmony, out today wherever you get your music. Among the other works that you guys have done, your second album was a musical, is Go to School. Tell us about that story. Where did you come up with that?
It was just an idea that we had to tie a few disparate ideas and songs together. And it's a... You know, it's something that was kind of a good songwriting exercise that we don't really think of as, like, you know, one of our best records, but...
But it was just sort of, it's like, you know, that was your second record, wasn't it? Your second major release?
It was our second major release. It was a double record.
Uh-huh. So, but you guys decided on your second release to make a concept record. How did just, that seems pretty ambitious.
Yes. Well, we were just kids, just like Patti Smith.
Yeah, I mean, there are some songs on there that I really like.
There's some good songs on that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
but it was cool. I mean, we produced it and, you know, did a lot of different recordings around that period. And some of the songs, like from our new record, are from around that time, but we had kind of held off on recording them at that period because we had... The concept record. That
really?
I wanted to do. Corner of My Eye was like...
It was from all the way back then.
Yeah. Todd Rundgren is on that album. How did you guys end up working with him?
Well, we were doing Coachella, and we asked him if he would come up and do a song with us.
Really?
And he said, well, sure, I've never been to Coachella before. And so we played Couldn't I Just Tell You, and... And he just, I think he was impressed by the way we learned the song. And then we asked him to do this thing, and he was in town. Like, we were at our parents on Long Island at that point. And, like, he was in town, and we just asked him to come over and record. And he just came to the basement and recorded a vocal very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. It was one of the highlights of our whole life. Collectively.
Yeah. So, and you guys have been performing, playing music kind of all your lives. You've been on TV, done some Broadway. How did you get into that kind of work?
Well, my mother, my mom was an actress when she was younger, and she, like, kind of got us into acting. We were at, you know, like, community theater, mm-hmm. and then we were scouted, and... Brian, sir, what was the first thing you did? Les Mis or something? Yeah, Brian did Les Mis on Broadway, and then we just, you know, snowballed from there.
Uh-huh.
I actually was just showing them my picture of me and Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. You guys remember that?
It was Photoshopped.
No, it wasn't Photoshopped. And somewhere around, you know, in the ether is a picture of me and Al Pacino. Is that not the correct...
Well, so when did you decide you were going to start recording together and just that was what you were going to do? How does
just
that work
always
out?
What we did, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that since we were kids. We were in a band in elementary school with this guy over here, Danny.
Uh-huh.
And we would play with him and do covers and do original songs. And we just always recorded.
Well, let's hear another song. What do you guys want to play?
This one's called Any Time of Day.
Any Time of Day, and I need to note now that that Michael DiDario is playing the drums right now, and Reza is on guitar. So let it rip.
We switched.
One, two, three. They say that people pass away to make a space for all the young ones laughing, living for today.
Can't let
That was the Lemon Twigs. They're my guests today in a JPR live session. You just heard Any Time of Day. It's a song off of their brand new release, Everything Harmony, available today wherever you get your music. Brian Daddario, Michael Daddario, Reza Mateen, and Danny Ayala, thank you so much for being here. And I need to add that there was another change on that song in that Brian is playing bass on that last song we just heard, Any Time of Day. So good luck on your tour. Thanks so much for joining us here at Jefferson Public Radio, and we hope to see you again sometime.
Thank you.
This JPR Live session was made possible with the support of South Stage Cellars in downtown Jacksonville, offering 28 varieties of wine in their tasting room and wine garden. They're supporters of art and music in the region, offering live music every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday night. You can find more information at southstagecellars.com. JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin, and you can find JPR Live Session podcasts and this one with the Lemon Twigs on our website, ijpr.org, and at Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts later today. And like and follow us on Facebook at JPR Music and at Jefferson Public Radio on Instagram. Stick around. Open Air continues in just a moment.